Dry January is officially over, but you can keep that sucker going into the rest of the year by picking up one of Athletic Brewing's award-winning brews. Use Athletic Gift 20, one word, to get 20% off your next Athletic order. They had a great write-up in the Wall Street Journal. It's the best brewery around, and we just drink it like water. It's so good. We have Brandon Jew, chef owner of Mr. Jew's in San Francisco, as our guest today. Also, every episode of Chrissy and Dave Dine Out is available to stream now on Hulu. You can catch myself, Chrissy Teigen, Joakim Booster, hosting dinners at some of the best restaurants in LA, including La Casita Mexicana, Providence, and Pizzeria Bianco. So much fun making that show. Also, Dinner Time Live with David Chang airs tomorrow on Netflix, Tuesday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Welcome to the Dave Chang Show, part of the Ringer Podcast Network, presented by Major Domo Media. I'm here with Toyota and the NFL at Super Bowl 58, recording from the inside of the all-new 2024 Tacoma with Chef Brandon Jew. This is going to be the first of three podcasts that we recorded literally right next to Allegiant Stadium days before the Super Bowl 58, and I'm going to predict the winner. The score will be, what did I say the score was going to be? I think it's 34-31, Chiefs, because nobody really wants San Francisco to win anything. I'm sitting next to this awesome car. We had a lot of fun in it, and let's get on to the conversation with Brandon Jew.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Pure Leaf Iced Tea. Great iced tea takes you somewhere else, like new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea that we have here at the Spotify Studios and drink quite a bit, where unexpectedly blackberry flavor transports you to a berry delicious place. So refreshing, you may never want to leave. You will eventually have to, though. But take your time. Try new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. Visit amazon.com/pureleaf and enter 20 Pure Leaf. That's 20 Pure Leaf for 20% off your purchase of new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea.
All right. We are here, guys. They're laughing at me. If you're not watching this on Spotify or YouTube or however you watch our podcast, they're laughing at me because I finally found a hat that fits my fat head.
It's a novelty for everybody else, but just a normal hat that fits you.
Yeah. Don't discriminate.
I got a big head too, man. I'm with you.
My brain is so powerful.
You do look like a super villain. What is that guy? Megamind. You look like Megamind.
We were supposed to record this inside the Tacoma behind us. I'm just saying, like, we were supposed to do it, but my head doesn't fit in with this hat. But I gotta say, I took a nap in there.
Yeah.
During Super Bowl festivities, during Lunar New Year tailgate festivities.
This is gonna be we're at the Super Bowl experience in Las Vegas. Full disclosure, the Super Bowl
the official Toyota automotive.
Toyota, the official automotive partner of the National Football League.
And Super Bowl 58.
And the Super Bowl has not yet happened.
Or has it?
It has happened for you listening to this, but it has not happened for us.
And all I can tell you is this, someone's going to win and someone's going to lose.
Someone's going to win and someone's going to lose. We are recording, this is the first of three episodes we're doing here at the Super Bowl experience. We've got a special guest with us who's
rocking. He's wearing a horrible jersey.
Are you an anti-Niners guy?
Of course.
Just strong anti-Niners?
Everything about the Bay Area.
Oh my God.
Post 1975. I'm against.
75? What happened in 75?
He's a flower child. He's a child of summer of love.
Yeah. Yeah.
But after that. After
the hippies.
Yeah, after the hippies.
you're not down
with it. I'm out. Three hippies in chill.
Yeah. But Brandon Jew from, you're a fourth generation.
Third
generation San Francisco.
That still doesn't give him a right to root for the 49ers.
Wait, so okay. But what year does that actually put it? When did your family come to San Francisco?
My like My mom and dad?
No, like you as a
my grandparents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your grandparents. So like what year were they in San Francisco?
50s?
So they're part of the cool group of San Franciscans.
1950s. Do they do any extracurricular activities?
God, did your grandmother and grandfather smoke weed?
Like hiking? Did you know that my great grandfather moved to San Francisco? He got off the boat in
like 18. What?
Yeah. So I should be a 49ers fan, but I know better.
We have so many rings. What's there to be not root for?
Because it's lame. It's a West Coast offense. And come on.
It's not a West Coast offense. It is the original West Coast offense.
The originators.
You're like a L.A. Rams fan. What are you talking
not,
about?
I am not an L.A. Rams
you
fan.
You better not be.
I'm not an L.A.
Rams fan. Who are you rooting for? Denver Broncos like Chris Chen?
Who's been to Denver once. Just rocks the Denver. No, I'm a Niners boy. Are you willing to go, Brandon? So this is, okay, everybody who's listening to this knows who won. The Super Bowl has happened.
The 49ers won.
And what was the score? Guaranteed, what was the score?
I think it's going to be low scoring.
What do you mean you think? You know what it's going to, what it is.
I'm going to go 24-17.
24-17.
I think I said 34-31. Patrick Mahomes, the real American.
Kermit.
What are you saying Jesus for?
But we are here because you were doing a tailgate challenge.
I was.
You were. We put you head to head.
Not just any tailgate challenge.
I'm sorry. The Toyota official automotive partner.
Oh, the Toyota tailgate challenge.
The Toyota tailgate challenge.
Where we focused on fried chicken for the Lunar New Year.
The Toyota Lunar New Year tailgate challenge here at the Super Bowl Experience. Super Bowl 58. We put you head to head.
Yes.
With
a friend of mine.
With a friend of yours. Yay. from San Francisco days. Yes. From his San Francisco days.
Yes.
Nico De Leon of La Cita in Los Angeles.
How long did you guys ever cook together?
We didn't cook together. We just had a lot of mutual friends. So he cooked for Jason at Commonwealth, which, you know, was next door to Mission Chinese. So those kitchens were very close.
Very fluid.
Yeah.
Did you ever cook with this guy?
No.
Did you ever hear a story?
We cooked a couple of nights at Mission Street Food, probably.
Did you ever hear the legendary stories of Chris Ying throwing down in the kitchen? Do you ever hear stories where Chris Ying would walk into the kitchen an hour late and tell everybody to stand in the corner while he cooks all the dishes?
Yep. Whoa. That happened to me. I was during my brief stint as the chef of the French Laundry, I told everybody, just get out of the way. I got these salmon cornets. I got this. It's all me here. Don't worry about this. No. We cooked a little bit in that crazy, tiny Chinese kitchen. That was...
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, Dave was saying on a recent...
Danny's kitchen and some house parties.
That was basically... Yeah. And some house parties. But, Dave, you were saying on a recent podcast or somewhere... God, I have no idea... Like, you were living as a young person, living and working in New York at the best time to live in New York.
I'd argue.
Put dates on that era.
19, I would say, talking to my friends that were earlier, like a lot, I would say 1995 to 2010.
Best time in history?
I mean.
It's a fun time to be in New York. Good time to be in New York.
We have air conditioning. Everyone wants to talk about the 1910s and
20s. We have modern medicine. Yeah,
modern medicine.
Electricity, running water.
But it was the last time New York was undiscovered without cell phones and smartphones and the beginnings of the internet. And you had to actually search out to find cool things and meet new people. And everything was a discovery and another door you had to figure out the combination to get into, sometimes literally, you know? And it was a lot of fun. And I don't think it's not, New York will always be fun. I don't want to sound like a boomer about it, but you know, I'm sure there are other periods. I think I would have loved to have been in the 70s, but also no.
was it also because, I mean, it's always hard to do anything in New York. New York's a tough place. But was that period of time, was it like friendly to doing new things?
No, New York is not friendly,
ever friendly.
Ever.
Because I think the era of like mid-2000s in San Francisco, mid to late early, like 2005, 2010, was a good time to try to do stuff in San Francisco because the tech bubble had burst.
Yeah.
And it was suddenly actually slightly affordable to do stuff. When was the best five-year period? You're a lifelong San Franciscan. What's like the best period?
I'm thinking like 2003 to maybe 2009.
That's 5 years.
So the Bush years.
Were they Bush years? It doesn't matter in San Francisco. There's no Bush years in San Francisco.
That was, I agree. 2003, 2009 was a fun time to be in San Francisco for the same reasons.
But you know what? What's the San Francisco dining scene was like then?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What was it like, Dave?
I remember what you said.
Pretty much the same thing everywhere.
Yeah. A lot of spetzel on the menu.
Spetzel?
Yeah, there was a spetzel period. I remember it was every menu in San Francisco had the same thing.
I never served spetzel.
Very hard to find restaurants that are trying to be ambitious and doing new and different things.
That's true.
But it was like it is true.
But also, like, I was thinking that there was just not a lot of opportunity too, because everyone was only doing CalMed.
That's what I'm saying. Because you cooked in a lot of Italian Mediterranean kitchens, and for a while, that was every single restaurant that opened in the Bay, right?
Yeah,
and still is all over America.
Yeah,
it's still everywhere in America.
I mean, can we just surrender to Italy? They won.
I mean, they kind of won. I don't know, but like, oh, globally,
yeah, they won it globally too.
I guess they won globally too. I mean, I don't know. Do you think it's different now? Do you think that there are fewer of that CalMed restaurant and more different stuff in San Francisco?
I mean, I think it's starting to happen again. I mean, it's been a rough couple of years with as far as creativity in San Francisco. So I feel like this next year, to me, I'm starting to see some new concepts that are, yeah, just more risk-taking.
Oakland? Better than SF?
No. I've worked in Oakland, and they don't have a second turn to their restaurant scene. So you're doing one turn, and you're never really feeling like you're in a big city.
Well, if that's your metric, then New York is way better than because you guys only do two turns.
That's true.
It is. I mean, New York City is like four, sometimes five.
That's turns. Insane.
Good God.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. So I never understood when cooks were like, oh, it's so hard. I was like, shut the F up. Like, we're doing like 250, 300 covers a night and with like half the staff.
New York tough. New York's tough.
It is tough.
New York,
but San Francisco. I've always been jealous of San Francisco because I like the weather.
Yeah,
I don't love the people so much.
the weather. Who are these people?
You like the weather in San Francisco because it's
I
like
think they're
being
tech people. I'm like, getting a sense they're tech people.
Well, the culinary community didn't treat me too warmly either.
We were talking before, though, this, like, I don't know, maybe this is not appropriate to talk about entirely, but like, we were talking, Brandon and I have known each other for a long time since like Mission Street Food and then Mission Chinese Food. And, that's where Nico, we also met him, and that's in that same area, same, time period. And we were saying, Chang, this is funny. Mission Chinese Food is still going in San Francisco, but it is now like, you know, it was like Danny was there, and it was like a bunch of white kids in the kitchen with us cooking things, and it was like super, super, super popular, and has now come full circle. Like Danny walked into this kitchen, Danny and Anthony walked into this kitchen where it was just kind of a beat up family run Chinese restaurant. They sort of launched it into the stratosphere with all this attention, and nature has kind of taken it back to just like a Chinese restaurant owned by Chinese people, run by Chinese people. I think they're still
doing those classics of Danny's era. Still to this day.
It's crazy. It's like a microcosm for how Chinese food has worked in this country.
I'm more concerned with the volume at which Anthony Mint spoke back then.
Dave and I have identified, Brandon, you're a good friend of Anthony Mint too.
Yes.
What percentage of the words he whispers do you actually hear him say?
Brandon, it's so good to
nothing.
See you.
Yeah,
0%.
Zero.
You've never heard him speak.
He's a quiet guy.
But he's an amazing person.
Amazing.
But you would never know.
because you can't hear anything. No idea what he's saying. He's a wonderful person. No idea what he's ever saying.
San Fran, I give it a lot of grief because I love it very much.
Yeah. That's not true. You just give it a lot of grief because you give it a lot of grief.
It's really given me a lot of grief. But my last meal in San Francisco was at your restaurant.
Yeah, I remember.
Tremendous. It was really, really delicious. That was like my first... That was during COVID.
Yeah.
That was my first restaurant meal.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember the last thing I served you. It was a digestive from this like guy who like had made this kind of crazy concoction
with wormwood
and all this stuff, right? And I remember he said, "This tastes like a grandma's couch."
It was.
And your first meal back was a Chinese meal,
Sichuan food with you and Chris Chen. But my first meal at a real restaurant was yours, and I remember going up to the bar upstairs,
yeah.
And you some I can envision the person that made this kind of drink, this concoction.
Yeah.
This, you know, it literally tasted not just of a couch. It was like something that was in storage for 65 years. And it just tasted like my grandmother, like every kind of grandma, and the smells and everything. And I just was like, people want to drink this.
It feels medicinal. It, like a little bit.
It was supposed to be medicinal.
A little punishing.
It was not nice.
So have you seen, Mr. Jews was, you know, is famously like, you know, you're a third, fourth generation Chinese American. You're opening a new ambitious restaurant in Chinatown. Not something that hadn't been happening in Chinatown at all.
Yeah.
Over the course of Mr. Jews being open, have you seen it? Have you seen other changes in the neighborhood? Are other people doing anything, or are you still kind of like a lone wolf in Chinatown?
No, I mean, there was an article I just read this morning in the Chronicle about some new wave Chinatown businesses.
Do they have to come pay tribute to you?
They got to pay me. Yeah, like old school, like the tongs.
Exactly.
Yeah, the shakedown. But it was the articles, I think it was a little kind of, I don't know, I didn't really like some of what they were saying about like how restaurants can save neighborhoods and stuff, because like I don't think Chinatown really needs a restaurant to try to save it, and restaurants really can't do that really. You know, the neighborhood over the course of COVID, I think, has solidified its community again in a way of like coming together, trying to support each other, trying to like really talk to the city about the needs of the neighborhood. It's a poor neighborhood, you know, and it's really old too. So like the infrastructure is like really old. But yeah, I mean, there is a hope that there's going to be another wave because there's just been more vacancies. Mm. So. Especially ground floor, all of the souvenir shops, they're all gone pretty much. You know, there's a couple of them left, but
can you talk about the building you're in with your restaurant, Story?
Yeah. You know, the building has been there since like the 1890s, and the first restaurant was called Hank Farlow. Which I guess means almond blossom.
It's my Chinese name.
Yeah. And then like the Historic Society has some amazing pictures of this restaurant. It's like, of its time, it was like a very, ahead of its time restaurant, as far as what it was serving, how it was serving food, like, in the scenery, really beautiful furniture, really beautiful kind of just how it was adorned. And that restaurant was there for like 100 years. I think it started off as being barracks upstairs. And, so it has a crazy history. And then, the restaurant after that was Four Seas. They had a 50-year run. There was like a huge banquet room upstairs, known for weddings, known for celebrations. But when we took it over, they were done. They were tired. But once I learned about the history of the building, it gave me a lot of inspiration to just understand what had been there before me. And like just the mentality of, I think, Chinese chefs back in those generations, like they, you know,
I remember you wanting to open up a restaurant, trying to figure out what you were going to do. I think we had a couple conversations about that.
We did. Yeah. At Tosca with Danny. I remember that dinner. Yeah.
And I was trying to convince you not to do it.
You did. Yeah. You were like, don't do that. you're like, open a Chinese American spot and just like go for that.
Make it simple.
Make it successful.
And it wasn't because I was trying to dissuade you from doing your dream, but it was more like what you were telling me. I was like, wow, this is going to be really hard to pull off. But that was still before you signed the lease.
It was.
And you found the space. And then I remember talking to you, I don't remember months after, but there was this sense of purpose, almost a mission in you. And that's when I saw that you had the crazy eyes.
Hmm.
I was like, oh, now
he's got that look.
Now he's got the look, right? The Last Dragon. He's got it. I was like, this dude's crazy. This guy's just crazy enough to do it. That's when you bet on somebody. You're like, oh, he's telling me all this stuff, and I don't know anything he's talking about.
But he's feeling it.
He's feeling it because you were literally talking about the building and Chinatown and the mission and why you had to do it.
Mm.
It wasn't because you were now trying to make cool food.
Yeah.
I think before it was like, I got to do cool things. It was now something that was like, I have to do it. It wasn't a need. Like, I have to do this because of everything. And that's when I was like, oh, you know, that's what I literally remember thinking. I was like, it's crazy.
I'm talking to a crazy person.
Yeah.
Okay.
I loved it because he just kept talking about the building. And to me, I remember thinking very vividly, I was like, you need to have some kind of anchor to something that's greater than what are you doing. Like the purpose, the mission of what you're doing. It couldn't just be making delicious food. Yes, it is, but there's always a bigger motive to the restaurants that I care about.
Yeah. I mean, people ask if I'm going to do another Mr. Juice somewhere else. It can't happen because all of leading up to going to Mr. Juice is going into Chinatown, going on to Waverly Place, the alley like behind Grant Avenue, and doing that whole experience before walking in the doors. And I think that to me, I've just kind of understood is like, this is a special building. This concept can't be anywhere else. It really can't.
You know what just dawned on me? We're sitting here, for those that are listening, we're behind an amazing Tacoma truck. We're sitting on AstroTurf, or what looks like AstroTurf. And we have all this media room. So if you ever watch the Super Bowl coverage and you have some anchor or newscaster and there's all of this stuff behind them, that's where we're at.
Yeah.
And there have been a lot of football players, so many football players. We just saw Josh Allen. I literally, Joe Montana bumped into me. And I was like, dude. But people are walking. So everyone's looking at people to think like, did they play football? You know, you have these conversations. Oh my God, look at the. I think everyone that's walking past here is looking at Brandon, who's wearing a Ronnie Lott jersey. Like,
that's not him.
Was that guy? No. It was like, did that guy play football? That's what I'm thinking.
It is. They're it like, is true. I will say it is. It is a.
Was he the first Asian American NFL
It is a bold move. At the Super Bowl, surrounded by real football players and rock a jersey. It is a bold move. Like I might be a real player.
There's no Niners here. That's because
they didn't. The Niners did have that Asian player that was on the team for a little bit, right?
Who?
There was a lineman that was.
No. The lineman was Eugene Chung, 1992.
Yes. Wow.
13th draft pick out of Virginia Tech.
Oh my God.
Right? 6'5", 300 pounds, but his hands are small. That's why, And short on hands are short arms. That's ultimately what like did him in. Wound up going for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I remember this stuff because that was the first time an NFL Korean person was ever drafted.
Yeah.
And I remember all of these things. Like, I remember watching the draft. I loved the draft when I, back then, Scott Fuchita, third round pick out of like Nebraska, Ohio State, whatever it was. I was like, damn.
Fuchita sucked.
And you couldn't make this stuff up. He was adopted by Japanese guys. Mm. I have Japanese parents. I was like, oh. But I remember San Francisco had a Japanese player, I believe. Hmm. You know, can you double check that?
Are you talking about Andy Lee, the punter, who's just a white guy?
But that's what I was thinking. I was like, maybe people are walking past thinking that that's
you. Oh, that's you.
Yeah.
Like, this is what he's
I
up to
I think he was
now.
A running back.
A Japanese Boom. Running back for the Niners? Wally Yonamine.
Wow.
Are you Wally Yonamine? Are we sitting here?
Well, from now on, you are.
Yeah. I'm down. Welcome. I'm down.
Welcome.
Are you surprised that I remember all this? I remember every that Asian player.
He remembers every Asian.
I love just that.
You know, anyone that's played professional sports, yeah, I got it. And that's what I was thinking. I was that's like, impressive. Maybe they think that you are that running back.
Like, whoa, he really gained some weight.
Oh, that's what Wally Yonamine is up to right now.
He's opening a restaurant?
But he was young.
Wait, he died age
there was another
eight,
one.
Five.
Dang, that's dark.
I believe there was another one.
This is not the one. Dave does not remember this from 1942.
Well, listen, folks, if you're listening, I'm correct. But, okay, take a break.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Welcome back to the Dave Chang Show. I'm here with Toyota and the NFL at Super Bowl 58. Recording from inside. We are literally inside. If you're not watching us on your phone or YouTube or whatever, we are literally inside the all new 2024 Tacoma with Chef Brandon Ju, who we found out was a practice squad player for the 49ers.
He's a walk on.
Made it almost.
Yeah. Well,
it's short arms.
Yeah. But you can tell your kid that you not only were a world class chef, but you almost made it to the NFL.
You were a hypothetical NFL player one time. It's roomy in here. I feel cozy.
One of the things that I was excited about Super Bowl weekend, besides the Super Bowl, besides, you know, all the festivities, was that Toyota gave us the opportunity to celebrate the Lunar New Year, giving us the chance to really have a competition about a Lunar New Year tailgating challenge. And we chose fried chicken as the contest food because it's the Super Bowl. It's a nice alignment with what's happening in Super Bowl, but with Lunar New Year and Asian food, the only food that would possibly work was fried chicken.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's why we chose it. We could have done 7-layer dip.
We could have
done a bowl of chili,
mm-hmm.
but none of those really work. So if you're asking why chicken, well, because it's a nice Venn diagram overlap of Super Bowl 58, where the Kansas City Chiefs are going to destroy the evil 49ers.
No.
And Lunar New Year. And you were going to go up against Chef Nico De Leon, somebody you've known a long time, and the team at La Cita in Los Angeles, rivaling Chinatown.
Rival Chinatowns, yeah. LA versus San Francisco.
Yeah. Two cities entering.
Kings.
What kind of fried chicken are you going to represent?
Well, I brought a recipe from Four Seas. We had talked a little bit about like that old restaurant before us, and my grandpa had found a clipping of a SF Chronicle newspaper article, and when I told him like I had the lease for Four Seas, he pulled it out. And this recipe is their namesake like recipe. And so Four Seas fried chicken is like basically a technique more than really a recipe. And the technique is like, I think that the surprising thing about it is that it has no batter. There's no starch. There's no like, really anything added, as far as like extra crispy things for the chicken. So it's just about, really like the blanching. It's very similar to like Peking duck, in a sense of like you're opening up the pores of the chicken skin, and then you're adding things,
exfoliating, if you will.
Exfoliating, yeah. it's going to the spa, you know, like opening all the pores. Then you're adding all these things, maltose, red vinegar, lemon juice, and then after it gets that baste, it just dries for 2 days.
Seems like a lot of work.
Got it.
This is a me at this age, never make the menu.
Yeah. It's like the most Chinese thing in the world, though. I feel like it's just like
Chinese food is all about work.
Tremendous, tremendous amount of work.
So much work.
Right? Is it delicious? That's all that matters.
I think it is. I think it is. I'm hopeful.
You're going to impress one of the greatest right tackles of the league, Jordan Mailata? You think you're going to impress
him? I think by the six chicken he has, I think I'm going to win him over.
It's going to take him six chickens to get there, though.
Well, I'm going to say it to your face. I got my money on Nico.
Dang.
Come on. I'm like,
it's just his jersey. It's his jersey. It's his jerseys.
Chinese cuisine.
Yeah.
I know this chicken you're talking about.
You're betting against Chinese cuisine?
No. I mean, David.
And the history of Four Seas restaurant?
For a long time. I've been shorting China for a long time. But if there's an opportunity to do it, it might be fried chicken.
Literally, I've been shorting the RMB for a long time.
But like fried chicken is not necessarily...
It's not something you think about as a Chinese thing first. Yeah, it's probably not.
Even though we serve more fried chicken than anybody else in the form of orange chicken and general sauce.
Right? I know, that's true.
That's so good, man.
So good.
I've now come full circle on orange chicken and general sauce chicken and sesame chicken. It might be the best.
Was there a period where you didn't like it?
Yeah, because I was trying to be cool.
Oh, yeah.
You know, no more cool Dave. It's loser dad Dave that doesn't know anything.
Sweet sticky chicken is the best chicken, yeah, for sure. There's no better. Yeah. Sweet and sticky. And there's no difference between General Tso's orange and sesame chicken.
No matter.
It's all the same. It's delicious.
Yeah.
I feel like, is it too late for me to enter the competition for Lunar?
What are you bringing? What would you bring?
I would make the same chicken you're making. But takes 2 hours to make.
No pores will be opened.
No pores.
No air drying. Just put it under the...
Well, and the other thing that we did was we seasoned it with this seasoning that we kind of came up with, MSG. Obviously, you guys have strong opinions about MSG.
Yeah, it gives me headaches. I get nauseous.
God, I just eat it. I'm hungry 1 hour later.
Yeah, it's not good for you, and it causes some terrible illnesses, so no.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's only in Chinese food.
Yeah.
It's only in Chinese food. The only people who use it are those Chinese people.
It's crazy, right?
But your MSG is not that MSG.
It's not.
It's organic.
It's hippie MSG.
It's seasonal.
It's hippie MSG. Right?
Well, it is kind of... I mean, I started to look at, like, it's probably the same thing as you guys understand about MSG, which is that it was discovered by this Japanese scientist who understood like that you know, monoamine sodium glutamate is coming from really seaweed was the first
dashi.
And so when you look at modern day MSG, what is actually comprised of what would you get, you know, out of a jar?
Beets.
Yeah.
Beets?
Most MSG comes from beets, which is why I legitimately think you can make it organic.
Like an organic
MSG. What would make me happier? I thought it, because what I read was like, it was cassava, like cornstarch and like sugarcane.
We may have to fact check me on beets. Oh, that hurt my shoulder so much. Listen, we got to get you out of here because you got to get prepping for your fried chicken battle.
True.
Because again, I have a lot of money placed on Nico. But before we get you out of here, I want to get one little debate club. It is Lunar New Year. There's no FMK here. Let's just pick one. Can only choose one. Dumplings or noodles. Right? Dumplings representing wealth,
prosperity.
Noodles representing just a long life with no wealth.
Long life.
Poor life.
That's an easy answer. Dumplings for sure. Dumplings, I mean, you give a crappy long life, that sucks.
I know. You know who chose noodles? You know.
Just
come on, you know.
Poor life.
Yeah.
It's dumplings all the way. Dumplings are just noodles with meat inside of it.
And can we all agree that Shenzhen Mao is the only dumpling that matters? I think so.
I love a Shenzhen Mao more than anybody, but is that your favorite, Brandon?
Tell me a dumpling that's as versatile as Shenzhen Mao.
Versus, is that
juicy? We're just all in one. You can only choose one.
Only one.
If we're all about that rich boy life,
if we're going to eat fast, die young,
right? Ooh, that's true.
We're going to live like a supernova.
Just burn out quick,
right?
My number one is Hagao.
Number one. Number one.
That's just embarrassing.
No.
Yeah.
Your number one dumpling of all dumplings is
texturally, and also I think when you have a good one, it's like earth shattering because you have so many of them in comparison. When you have a really great one, Shenzhen Mao, people don't have a lot of context to, and when they have it for the first time, it's great. It's like it's a new thing, so you get that new. You get that new car.
Oh, is that right? Okay. I'll let them know. Toyota just rescinded.
I'm sorry, Brandon. You're going to have to
get it all. I'm kicked out.
Yeah, they
said, no, like, not Hagao. Shrimp is not part of the deal.
Hagao's not even my favorite dim sum. Like, you like you Hagao have to think more than Shumai.
No.
You don't like Hagao more than Shumai, so how can Hagao...
No, I do love Hagao more than Shumai.
You know what's the most overrated? Again, I've talked about this in podcasts over and over like a broken record, not a surprise. I'm over soup dumplings.
I am too.
It's so fragile. It's got like, you know, literally, it's just got...
crappy broth.
It's like an angry Karen.
It's kind of crappy broth.
I'll say this. Yeah,
it's so special.
I'm not over the soup dumpling, but it's been years since I've had a
good one. You got to go to Shanghai for a real one.
I've had a good one.
You can't do anything with it.
It's been years since
I have to eat it there.
You can't
take away.
Yeah, I mean, when you see those, when you see it in the cups, that's the worst. That's the worst thing to see when you get a Shaolin Bao and they're in the little.
It should be
metal
illegal
cups.
To serve. It should dumplings be to go. It should be illegal.
I agree. I you know me. Once I get my country, that's not going to be allowed.
Once I get my country.
Once that deal
is only one dumpling, Shenzhen Bao.
No Hagao for you.
I love a Shenzhen Bao, but I can only eat like three of those.
That's all you need.
I can eat like six, seven Hagao.
Quality, not quantity, my friend. Okay.
It's more that it's not even the quality. To me, it's like the richness of that
quality.
You know what I do think is cool about the Hagao? You know what I do think is cool that like you don't see elsewhere is like when they make Hagao,
they like massage the shrimp or like run it underwater to like beat it up so it becomes that crunchy texture. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Can you?
All right. All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. The special edition of the Dave Chang Show from inside, literally inside the 2024 Toyota Tacoma. Thanks to, I guess we have to say thanks to Chef Brandon Jew.
Hogow. Hogow, number one.
For Mr. Shrimp
Hogow. Jeez. You can visit his restaurant, Mr. Jew's, in San Francisco's historic Chinatown. And follow him on Instagram at Brando J.
Jesus Lord. Oh my God.
Brandoj.
That's me.
Do you not see the resemblance to his name?
Brando J?
They didn't. Brandon J was already taken, so I got
Brandoj.
I got Brandoj.
You did choose a weird way to get around Brandon J being taken. Well,
this was when Instagram first started. Like, I didn't.
But does anybody call you Brando?
Yeah, people call him Brandon.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Make sure to catch Dinner Time Live with Chris Ying on Netflix tomorrow at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 p.m. Eastern. Give us 5 stars and eat some shenzhen.
Five hogows.